It is humbling to be up here, actually. A place that I'm usually comfortable with because it's faces that I know. And it does feel like home. It's a place where I always said that I experienced the face of grace of God in this place. And I see many of those faces here this morning. And it's because of that that I'm able to stand here before you, hopefully, ready to share God's word. I was feeling like I was in school when in the class of homiletics, which is a class on preaching, where every now and then they would call upon you to preach on any piece of scripture you want. You got 5 minutes. And it was really one of those times because the Bible says always be prepared to share the word of God, right? And so that's what I'm doing this morning, and I hope it works. Now, Pastor Bob taught me while I was here that the best thing to do is talk about God and talk about 20 minutes. And I added stay with the script. Now, those of you that may have heard this message before who were with me, especially my family last Sunday, so I'm just going to share with you what I shared with the congregation last Sunday, but I think it's appropriate for us today. Let me start by first bowing our heads in prayer and going before God. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you and honor and glorify you. I thank you, Father God, for that feeling of home again when I come to this place and those people who nurtured me and were with me and guided me in my ways here, that you were used by you. I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning and pray, Lord God, as I do every Sunday, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of the hearts that are here this morning would be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you right up front, the title of this message is The Great Invitation. And it really is an invitation for anyone who might be feeling a little bit burdened this Sunday, or maybe have in the last couple of weeks. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. And a lot of us come to church with that really great smile. There was a pastor before Pastor Bob who was also from the American Baptist tradition that said people always say they're fine, and that usually means that they're frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and extremely emotional. And so many of us walk into this church with a big smile and everything's fine, but you don't have, unless you want to say amen, if anybody's here that's kind of feeling burdened or had a really tough week or feels like, man, I really need somebody to carry my load, then this message hopefully is for you. And if you're not, then it's for you for when that does happen that you can remember. All right? So let's stand as I share with you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. The Gospel of Matthew, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Say amen if you've got it. Amen. So at the time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he goes on to say, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as you read that, did anyone feel, wow, that message is for me today? I hope so, because it is. It is. I want you to know that that's Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to all of us. I would ask that that you would take this opportunity to do this. Imagine that you are there at the time that this was written. But if it's easier for you, like it is for me, try to imagine that Jesus is here now and he's speaking to you, because the one who is speaking here, according to the Gospel of Matthew, is Jesus himself. We have the opportunity to hear from him directly. And if all of you believe that Jesus is alive and well, then he can speak to you this morning. So for me, it's easier to imagine him here rather than try to picture myself there. Because that's who we're speaking to. That's who's speaking to us. And he brings to us this morning a great invitation. And as we look at the background of this scripture, what we'll find out as you read the Gospel of Matthew, that Jesus had been talking to his disciples in chapter 10. He actually sends them out. He says, I'm going to send you out like what? Like lambs among the wolves. Meaning it's not going to be easy. You're going to face the people who are going to reject you, who are going to be indifferent towards you. And then Jesus then turns his attention in chapter 11 to these other group, right? The Pharisees and the rulers and the leaders. Keep in mind that Jesus, although he sent them out, he sent them out first equipping them and then empowering them. If we understand our relationship with God through Jesus, we know that Jesus is the example that teaches us. That's why he says, learn from me. But then we get the Holy Spirit who empowers us. Kind of like where we are here today. We're being equipped and hopefully filled by the Spirit to be empowered to go out. And we're going to face conflict. And that's what Jesus is facing here as he speaks to his Pharisees and scribes. They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't listen to Jesus, and they wouldn't listen to John the Baptist. John the Baptist being this really weird kind of guy who lived out in the desert, ate locusts and dressed all kind of weird, but didn't really socialize with anyone. They thought he must be demon-possessed. Of course, Jesus was the socialite. He's the one that hung out with all these tax collectors and sinners, kind of like me, maybe some of you. And he drank, they said. In fact, they tried to call him a drunkard. But they wouldn't believe either him or John the Baptist. No matter what he did, no matter how much he healed, no matter how much he revealed, they just would not listen to him. They rejected him. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, he says, let anyone with ears listen. Let anyone who has ears listen. Jesus is trying to tell us, listen, because I got a message for you today. It's a message of hope. Of relief. In verses 25 through 30, what we see is Jesus turns to this crowd that I was telling you, the Pharisees and the scribes, and he says to them, since you don't believe in me, then I'm going to curse you. He's going to curse the cities. In fact, where Jesus actually did his miracles and his healings, especially Capernaum, which was the capital, the headquarters of all the healings. Imagine this church not believing in Jesus after receiving all the healing this church has received. All the testimonies that we can get, there are many of you who could stand here and say how God has touched your life and then turning away from that. And Jesus wants to release these people from this group of Pharisees and religious leaders, from the oppression of them, from following these rules and the conflict, who were also complicit with the Roman Empire, who were by themselves alone oppressors. I believe when we look at chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, what we're going to find is Jesus is now turning his attention to who? To the believers, those who are saying, I want to get out of this oppression that I'm receiving from the Pharisees and the scribes and from the Roman Empire. But I also believe that he's speaking to some of us who are sitting on the fence, some who are not sure. I like you, Jesus. I like what you're hearing, what you're saying. I believe what you're saying is true. You know, I believe you might come from God, you know, but I'm not sure. I'm sitting on that fence. If you're one of those, he's speaking to you today as well. I believe that's who he's speaking with. And what he's bringing is this great invitation. And this great invitation that we receive is for who? He says, for all who are weary, all who are carrying heavy burdens. And what's the biggest burden that they were carrying? We all know. We just confessed to it. Pastor Bob just spoke to it. It's called sin. It's the burden of sin. It's the burdens of trying to do good to earn salvation. And the Bible says we are saved by grace, not by works. But also from the everyday burdens that we receive each and every day. Can I get an amen from somebody who's had those burdens this last week? Maybe the last month, maybe this last year. Maybe you understand that feeling of that burden. But he says you have to come in order to receive. You have to come. And if you study this passage long enough, you're going to find out that the word come is synonymous with believe. Remember that. Come is synonymous with believe. And you have to believe first in his name. His name is Jesus. So he wants you to come, and the very first thing in order for you to receive this relief is to come and recognize the one who's inviting you. Did you notice who is inviting you? His name is Jesus. If you look at verses 26 through 27, what's it say? It says, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things, it says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And it says, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Did you see how Jesus is acknowledging his Father God? He acknowledges not only who Father God is, he also acknowledges that his authority comes from this God of all creations, the great I Am. Jesus recognizes himself, who he comes from, where his authority comes from, where his ability to heal and to reveal comes from. And we need to do that as well. If you look at the Gospel of John, and I don't have time to share it with you all this morning, but I suggest you do that. Whenever someone is saved, oftentimes, and they've come to the Lord for the first time, oftentimes the very first book of the Bible that we share with them and ask them to read is the Gospel of John. Because John spends so much time talking about the love of Christ and who he is and trying to prove that he is the Messiah. And the Gospel of John says these things. I'm going to paraphrase. Says that I am the bread. That's Jesus. He says that. Jesus says, I am the life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. He says that before Abraham was, I am. We're talking about Jesus, the person who represents provision for us, the person who represents salvation for us, the good shepherd who is gentle and kind and provides guidance. We're talking about the Jesus who is the gate. And when you think of the gate, you think about release and door and the opening. When you think about him being the truth, you recall the promises that he's made. When you think about him being the light, you think about him being clarity and guidance on your faith journey. God bless you, whoever's sneezing. This is the person that said before Abraham was, I am. He was there at the time of creation. But you have to come to him, and come is synonymous with what? Believe. It's not just come to see, come to ponder, come to wander. No, it's come in belief of the one who's making the invitation, and his name is Jesus. Where the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Then you have to come, once you acknowledge and recognize the person who is making this great invitation, you get the opportunity to see the great rewards that will come your way. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 3 to 4, we know that chapter as being the chapter of the Beatitudes. Let me tell you what it says there in chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. Again, I'm just taking pieces out of it. He says to them, "Poor, blessed are those who are poor in spirit." He said, blessed are those who mourn. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. He says, blessed are those who are merciful. He said, blessed are those who are pure in heart. He says, blessed are those who are peacemakers. And he says to them, blessed are those who are persecuted. And what do they receive? It says that those who are poor in spirit get heaven. Those who are mourning get comfort. Those who are hungry and thirsty, they get spiritual food and they get spiritual water. In fact, it's called living water that's overflowing. Those who are merciful get more mercy. Those who are pure in heart get the revelation of God because God is love. Those who are peacemakers, they're called children of God. Are you hearing the rewards? Are you acknowledging the rewards that you get? Blessed are those who are persecuted, he says. To them belongs the kingdom of heaven. Are you hearing the rewards that you get? It's a great invitation because it's a great God, a great Jesus, who has great rewards for those who come to him. But it says you have to come. And come is synonymous with what? Believe. Verse 28 says, come all who are weary and carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. But you've got to come and believe. And then you have to come to him according to the scriptures. And what's it saying? Jesus reveals, Jesus says, thank you, Father God, that you have decided to conceal from those who are the Pharisees and the scribes, who know the scriptures, who know the Old Testament, have all the rituals down. They know all the festivals that they have year after year. He says, Thank you, Father God, that you've kept it from them, that you've decided to reveal that to me, humble, who knows nothing. Many of us come here, don't even know the scriptures well enough to stand up here and speak to them. That's fine. Jesus is going to reveal himself to you. That's what it says here. But you got to come to him like a little child. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, my basic training, one of the first things we had to learn was how to fire a weapon. And I remember the drill instructor saying to the group that was there, okay, how many of you ever went hunting for deer or rabbit or squirrel? And all of them raised their hand. He said, okay, I want you to stand over here. He says, how many of you have never hunted for anything in your life? And that was me. He said, I want you guys to stand here. See, I want to help you to not be killed by those that are over here. That's what I want to do, because see, these guys come with all these bad habits. They think they know it all. They've been hunting in the woods, you know, and they've been hunting deer and bear and all these squirrels, and they just think they know how to fire this weapon. They think this is a gun, and I'm here to tell them this is not a gun. This is a weapon that's going to be used in combat. And I want to help all of you who've never hunted before to be saved from all of those who think they know it all. See, I can mold you. I can teach you how to use this weapon because you've never used it before. That's how Jesus is saying, I want you to come to me like a little child so I can mold you and then teach you. That's why he says, come to me, you know, take my yoke and learn from me, because he can turn you into the person that he wants you to be, that you might come to him. And come is synonymous with believe. That's who he is. He wants us to come to him so we can be molded and trained. And you want to know why? Because the next verse tells us, says to him at the end, what's he saying? Take my yoke. He says, come to me all who are heavy, who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To be equipped, to come to him like a little child so that you might take his yoke. He's giving the audience there, these Pharisees, all these intellects, all of these who have been studying the scriptures, the Torah, whatever they want to call it. They know this whole thing. They know all the ceremonies. He's saying to those of you who are believers, come to me, take my yoke. I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to continue to live under the oppression of the Pharisees and the scribes and the oppression of sin and the oppression of the Roman Empire? Or do you want to be yoked to me? Because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's the choice that we have. This is the choice he's giving to us after we come to understand who is the one that's making the great invitation, after we acknowledge the rewards that we're going to receive, and after we come to him as a little child. He says, come to me. I need you to be yoked. I need you to take up the cross, because just like they do here in Second Union Church, God is calling each and every one of us through Jesus and this example in the Gospel of Matthew to be that disciple. To be that person, to take that yoke. If you look at the definition of rest, you're going to find out in the dictionary that it's a resting post. Some of us need you to be that resting post. It's a rest stop. If you've ever been in the States and you're traveling on a long trip on the highway, there's these rest stops where most of us get donuts and coffee, only to rest at the next stop again because we shouldn't have had all that coffee and all those donuts. Jesus is saying, I need you, Barnabas Community Church, or Second Union Church, or Union Church, or Christian Community, whatever church you are, I need you to be that rest stop. Because there are people in the world who need rest from the oppression of daily life. That's who we're supposed to be. It also talks about, in legal terms, what rest means. Oftentimes it means that if you look at an attorney, whether it's the defense or the prosecution, when they're done presenting their case, they say the prosecution rests and the defense rests. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus actually lived. Jesus actually died.
Jesus actually was buried. Jesus actually rose from the dead. He ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father God. And he's saying to us today, the defense and the prosecution rest. You no longer have to be under the oppression of sin. You no longer have to work to be saved. I've done that. I stand before the great I Am Father God to tell him, the defense rest. We have been saved. Glory to God. Praise be to God. But you got to come, and come is synonymous with what?
Believe.
Believe. So he wants us to take that burden, to take up that cross, to take that up. And so I want to close with this. I know it's real tough to do sometimes, and you're not compelled to do that unless you want to. And if you don't want to do it now, and if I can get this thing to stay on my ear, you can do it after. But I think I would be remiss, and I never want to stand before God, and one day I will, and have this God say, you preached a message, you shared a message on, come to me all who are burdened, and I will bring you rest. And you failed to ask anyone to come. I pray that you don't leave this place if you are burdened. If you need to know Jesus and you want to come to know this Jesus, after the worship service, you come and see me. I'll lead you through that prayer of salvation. But if you're carrying a burden and you've been carrying it way too long, and Jesus is saying, come to me, come.
Put it at the foot of the cross. Lay it
there. And then after you lay it there, take my yoke, that we might be the resting place and the resting post for someone who has a heavy burden and heavy laden. So bring all your worries, all your anxieties, all your concerns, whatever it is that's holding you back from becoming the person that God wants you to be. Bring that here to the cross today, and he will bring you rest. And I pray you will consider that. After the worship service, you come. I'll be here. And I will pray with you and for you that you might let go of whatever that burden might be. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you and honor and glorify you that you provide for us the script, the message that you want us to deliver. I thank you, Father God, that we don't have to invent it. We can plagiarize you each and every Sunday if we want, Father God, just by using your word and exposing it to your people. All that you ask of us is that all of us who have ears, that we might listen. Might listen to the call to come, believing that you are our salvation, that you are the Messiah, that we can bring our burdens to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Like Pastor Joe said, we do carry burdens sometimes, and we go through hard times, and we want to be in control because we can do this. And I don't want to burden anybody else with what I already have burning within me, because everybody else carries their own. But when we come to realize it and we finally want to accept it, there's Jesus, and what a beautiful name it is. And when we do that, we realize that not just that it's a beautiful name, but what a wonderful name it is, because you do feel sort of, you start feeling a little bit of that rest, because I'm not in control anymore. You just say, you know what? You do it. It's you anyways. And once we do that, we get to experience the grace and just what a powerful name he is. Has such a powerful name. And when we finally let go of our burdens and let him take care of that, we finally realize all the power that he has, and that he really does want to give us rest. So I hope that you guys listen to this song and that you realize that that's what he wants for us.
You
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. 'Cause what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love is greater, so what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. Just what a wonderful name it is. The name. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.